He said no, you need to go down. He said no, no need to go down. Rock that, run that, this how we frown. He said no, you need to go down. He said no, no need to go down. Rock that, run that, this how we frown.
Edition of Bunny and the Braun Show. I'm your co-host Jay Flizzle, Jay Floyd, Jay Braun. Hey, and I have the lovely and beautiful Bunny on the line. What's going on, Bunny?
Hey, how are you, Braun? I'm good.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great on this wonderful Sunday evening. How was your week? How's everything?
Everything is good. Everything is good. I've been looking forward to this show. Hoping
yes,
I learn
yes.
something and share something.
Oh. Absolutely. Well, fellas and friends out there, we got a great show for ahead of you. We got a wonderful show. It's about interracial dating. So without further ado, let's jump into it, Bunny.
Well, I did not pull statistics for this show because I didn't think they mattered. I really wanted to talk more about the emotional side, not the, for lack of a better way of saying it, black and white side. I did look up a few things that I thought were interesting. But I really just wanted to focus on the, you know, the side effects and the challenges and maybe get some feedback from our listeners on some of the things that they have done to get through the hard parts of interracial dating. I do want to give a shout-out to Sonalu Cleaning for being our lead sponsor. Thank you so much. They've been in business for 11 years in the North Metro area of Atlanta, and you can find them at www.sanalu.com. So thank you so much. So it was 49 years ago, actually, that the Supreme Court decision struck down all anti-miscegenation laws and interracial marriages became legal. That really feels like just yesterday, doesn't it, Braun? That doesn't sound like very long ago, 1967.
No, it doesn't feel long at all.
I was almost born then. and it's funny because when I was looking at the numbers, even still, the most interracial marriages are happening with American Indians, with white being the lowest, black is the next. Asian is the highest. Asian women underneath American Indian are the most likely to marry outside of their race. And it's funny, I look at my friend circle and I look at, you know, Facebook and social media, and I do see a lot of Asian women with black men and white men. So it's funny looking at the numbers and applying it to what I see in society and photos. So I personally date interracially. I actually date one race, the human race, but I have an ethnicity preference for a very good reason I'll get into shortly. But it can be challenging. You know, I was married to a black man. Unfortunately, I'm a widow, 3.5 years now, but he was a black man. And coming from the north, I moved here to Atlanta about 3.5 years ago. We didn't have problems up there. You know, in the Northeast region, I don't know if people are more tolerant because life's so hard anyway, why complain about something else? Or there is just a genuine higher tolerance up there for not being the norm. Because, of course, up there, there's a very low black population. So we moved down here, and it was immediate. The backlash was immediate. Not so much where I live in the North Metro area, but when we started doing things inside the city. I had never been treated so poorly by my beautiful dark-skinned sisters, and it was horrifying to me, maybe because I'm a little naive and I'm a nice person, but it blew my mind how disrespected is really the word, disrespected our relationship was in certain areas of the city. I'm curious, Bron, what is your experience? Have you dated interracially? Ever been in a situation?
Absolutely. I have definitely dated interracially. I was in a 2.5-year relationship with a woman of Anglo-Saxon descent, if that means. And it was a good relationship, but you had trials and tribulations with both. And I know I'll definitely discuss it in more detail when we go into our second half, our second segment. But I guess I wanted people to know that Bunny is a white woman, and me, I'm a black man, and we have dated interracially, and everyone has certain preferences, and you know, and being raised here in the South, I have my little stories to tell about being raised in the South and not being able to talk to the pretty little white girl when I was in school, just because you know I couldn't talk to her because she was a white woman. So there were some definite challenges growing up, but 2016, and you know, there's so many beautiful shades right now with all this interracial dating and marriages right now. So it's a beautiful thing going on in 2016. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. It's funny. My sister is younger than I am. You know, I'm never shy about my age. I'll be 41 in April. My little sister is much younger. She's about to turn 30. And she was the first person to bring an interracial relationship into our family. She dated a wonderful man, and you know, we took him in his family. He's still family to us, even though they're no longer together. But he was Haitian, and he was actually born in Haiti, came over here with his grandmother years ago when he was younger, raised in New York. He and my sister had a great relationship for a while, and my niece is mixed, and she's absolutely gorgeous. You know, it's one of those, I personally always wanted to have a mixed child because I just think they're so beautiful. But unfortunately, I was not blessed in that way. But I could see a shift in my parents. You know, my parents are, you know, my mom is about to be 60. My dad is about the same age. And they just grew up differently than we did. But when that happened, it blew my mind how quickly the tolerance just flipped. You know, the minute you can see love, when you see that love and then that love is manifested in a child, you can't be anything but respectful. How do you not respect that? But, Bron, I have a couple questions for you that have come up. I'm relatively new, guys. I'm relatively new to interracial dating because of the fact I was born in New Orleans but raised in the Northeast where it's predominantly white. So I still have questions that might make me sound a little naive, and I'm totally okay with that because I guarantee I am not the only person. So my first question is, my husband's first wife was Latino, and his family was very accepting of their marriage. But they divorced. They have a wonderful son, my stepson. And when it came time to let everybody know that he was marrying me, he was so stressed out, and I didn't understand because, you know, here I am in this tolerant family in this very non-racist area, and it was because I was white. So she was light-skinned. She definitely wasn't, you know, a dark-skinned girl. Why is it, Bron, and this, of course, I just want to preface this with, this is obviously only our opinion. We don't state to be experts in the fact that, you know, everybody has a different opinion, but Bron, why is Latino considered different to the black culture when it comes to interracial dating and more acceptable than Caucasian?
Well, like you said, you know, we're definitely no experts in this, even though we've had experiences in dating interracially. My opinion is, I think because Latino culture and the African American culture are minorities, and it's sort of kind of accepted as minorities. It's okay to date interracially within minorities. It's more accepted as opposed to the quote unquote. And I got some, definitely going to do some myth busting on the stereotype of interracial dating is nothing but black and white. That's what you talked about. Is definitely not the case.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's funny. A very, very close friend of mine is a white woman, and she has never dated a white man, and she is just a year older than myself. And one of the conversations we had back in the beginning, when I first started dating interracially, was her husband tried to explain to her what it's like to be, he was mixed Spanish and black, what it's like to be a minority in this country. And it was so powerful how he explained it to her. What he did is he showed a picture of the dollar bill, Mount Rushmore, and said, start thinking about all of the things, even down to our currency, what we pay for things with, and the people and the faces that are on that. And imagine being of a different ethnicity, yet that's what you look at every single day. And it was so powerful. Now, to imagine a black face on money, or, you know, a Latino face on money, or an Asian face on money, as a white person, it really puts it into perspective what it's like for a minority in this country. It is definitely predominantly white still. And her, she had a great comeback, and I agree, because as much as I do believe, as a white female, I do have a lot of privilege, and I own that, and I respect it, and I don't take advantage of that. However, when you look through Cosmo, because that's what he was saying, you know, your Cosmopolitan magazine, there's not enough women of color. Well, I'm Swedish. I might be Anglo-Saxon, but I'm Swedish, and she is Czechoslovakian. And I've got a girlfriend of mine that is French. So, yes, we are all considered, you know, on that race card, white, non-Hispanic. However, we're still very different, with very different cultures, very different upbringings, and extremely different looks. So even within our race, we have so many different backgrounds. And she was trying to get him to understand that, but it kind of fell on deaf ears. So the whole situation where, and especially with politics right now, things are getting very scary, and I don't want to talk politics on this show, but it's very scary what's going on in our country specifically when it comes to races. And as an interracial dater, it does make me nervous about what my future might look like depending on how things swing. So what I do want to talk about, because this is the biggest thing for me, is what it's like as the mate of the person who has an ethnicity that's not white, that's not vanilla. One of the things I deal with, and Bron, this is actually going to be a question for you. I think we do, we are going to have a caller, correct?
Yes. Matter of fact, I was going to bring the caller on right now, if you don't mind. We got a caller.
I don't.
Last four, 0336.
Yes. Yes.
Caller, what's your name and where are you from?
Corey, how you doing? I'm originally from New York, but I'm out here in Atlanta.
Cool.
Hey, Corey, welcome.
Welcome. Well, how you doing? Thank you for inviting me on tonight. I briefly just caught the gist of what you guys were discussing. For me, interracial dating, I never actually looked at it as interracial dating when I was dating someone of Hispanic descent. It's actually only been looked at from my perspective when I've dated white women. And for me, it's actually grown since I've gotten here to Atlanta, which was a little more surprising based three of the South. I actually thought I would have had better luck up top, but that wasn't the case. So for me, I love it. I wouldn't change it. I would marry a white woman. Black woman doesn't really matter to me. As long as it's a female, I'm fine.
That's a good qualifier. All right, so let me ask you this then, Corey. Have you been dating both and publicly dating both here in the city of Atlanta?
Yes. I've never I haven't been in a one-on-one relationship with a white woman here. Well, actually, I haven't been in with a black one either, now that I think about it. I mean, I was in a relationship when I originally came here with a black woman, but since then I haven't been in a relationship. It's just been dating, but outwardly dating, absolutely.
How are you treated in public? You know, are you? Do you find that you're treated any differently, or you get looks from either side?
I haven't noticed it, honestly. I have not noticed it. And I've gone to what's considered black places with white women, no problem. Mm-hmm. I've gone to white places with a white woman, no problem. So I haven't had it. Now, that's not to say that it's not going on and I just didn't recognize it. Perhaps it's just my nature. I just don't really care. So I may not have noticed it just because of it. So
I actually have a story that directly relates to what you just said that I'm going to talk about in the next segment, about people that have been open to this for so long that they just don't see things anymore, as opposed to those of us that are still relatively new, noticing everything and even sometimes getting our little feelings hurt. So okay. I'm curious, is your family from New York as well?
Yeah, my family's from New York, actually, but, you know, we're descendants from Jamaica, but I was born in New York, like most of everybody who's, like, 40 or under, we were all born, born up top somewhere.
Okay. How would your family feel if you were to go to them and tell them you were marrying a white woman?
I think they would just be relieved that it's, like, finally happened that I'm marrying somebody, because...
Wow.
My family.
Okay. That's a whole other
point,
show. I think we talked about that one.
At this point, they just want me to be married. But, like, it's a case in point where they wouldn't care. I would be shocked if I got any other response other than, are you happy? And finally, that would be it. Like, I would be shocked of anything else like that. I wouldn't recognize that as my family had that. The reaction been any different.
Okay. And do you have siblings?
Yeah, I have a little sister. Well, she's 26, but she's still my little sister, so.
Okay. Does she date interracially?
Now, I don't get in her business like that. The few little, you know, young punks that I've seen her with, they were all, you know, your little typical urban African-American cats. That's not to say that she wouldn't date them, or she hasn't, and I just never seen them. Because although we're somewhat tight, I don't know her daily activities to that degree. So if she is dating, but if she was, I wouldn't care. Like, you know, it's just about who's treating her right. That's all that matters to me. As long as she's being treated right, then I really don't care who it is.
Okay, at 26 years old, that's she's actually still growing up. Would she would be fine with you as well?
Yeah, she'd probably want to know when she's gonna become an aunt. That would probably be the next thing. Because I don't have any children, so that's
okay.
That would be more of the primary focus. They don't care. Most of my family's just like, yo, get married and hey, give us something. Like, hello.
Hey, Corey, you would have been great on that last show we just had about men that are over 40 with haven't been married and no kids. I'm telling you, man. You'd be perfect.
Well, I'd be close to that. I'll be 39. I don't know. I want to throw myself just in that 40 realm yet. But I did actually listen to the show, by the way. Definitely a good show. What was the term that you guys were calling it?
Unicorn.
Unicorns, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be too fancy about calling myself a unicorn, but it was a good show nonetheless.
Excellent. It looks like we're coming up on a break. Corey, if you'd like to stay on, we'd love to have you. Just let us know as we get in. You might have some stories to share that, as we share our stories, and it's always great to get feedback from someone else, especially someone else that's in the area that I'm in. Maybe I can learn something new. Because I do have a question for you guys about the challenges of me finding people that are, we'll save it for the next segment.
Well, absolutely. I'd be listening, and definitely I'd like to get back on if possible.
All right, great. Jay, if you could keep him on with us, that would be fantastic. And Jay, I've got questions for you when we come back. So
no
just
problem.
Let me know. We've got some sponsors that we want to shout out to that we love and appreciate. And we'll
no
be
problem.
Back shortly.
All right, we'll be back for Bunny and the Bronze.
Hi, I'm Jack. I know it's hard for my parents to watch over me all the time. When I'm at home, they got it covered. They called Interactive Business Technologies and installed a security system. Now we have watch over our front door, backyard, and even a couple rooms in our house. The HD camera has night vision, is weatherproof, and senses motion, so my parents get an alert right on their phone. My parents trust me, for when they are out for an extended period of time, they check on me from their phones and even talk to me right through the camera. I feel safe, but I really can't get away with anything. Interactive Business Technologies will install as little as 2 cameras or as many as you need. They took the time to teach us how to access it from both our phones and tablet. Go to www.callibt.com and find out how they can help you keep your kids safe. Servicing DeKalb, Fulton, and Gwinnett counties.
Life is busy during the week. Who wants to do the housework during the weekend? Call Sonali Cleaning Service and come home to a clean and fresh-smelling house. Move-ins, move-outs, deep cleanings, weekly and bi-weekly. You can purchase blocks of time and a la carte. Only need the bathrooms and kitchen done? No problem. What you need, when you need it, they will clean it. Sonali Cleaning Service has been serving North Atlanta for 11 years. Go to www.sanalu.com and get a free quote and your weekend's back.
We're back. It's Bunny and the Braun. I'm your co-host, Jay Braun, with the beautiful Bunny, and we got a caller, Corey, on the line. What's going on, Corey?
Hey, got my back already. Hey. Yes,
welcome
you
back.
Me in the middle of cooking, so my hands is wet, so I apologize about not taking the intro immediately.
You're fine. So what I wanted to talk about is some stories, you know, some of the challenges that you deal with societally, and I will kick it off with a story that was, it was what's supposed to be a great, exciting night, and it was one of my very first experiences with negativity. And then I want to talk about why I choose to date interracially, because I think that that's part of the problem, is everybody has a different reason. But so I was dating somebody, and we had, we were going to the Alicia Keys concert down at Phillips Arena with Miguel. Obviously, that's going to be a melting pot of everybody. Those are big names. And my date was black, and my girlfriend, who's white, who's never dated a white man, her man is black, and we're walking down, and they're about 4 feet in front of my date and I, and this group of 3 black women come up behind us, and they are snickering and just being very catty. It was frustrating to me because it hurt my feelings. Like I said, I'm naive. I'm a bit naive. And I poked on my friend, you know, I walked up to my friend and I was like, this is so rude. So the guy I was with had obviously dealt with this before. He just kind of put his arm around me and, you know, kind of snuggled me into him so I would feel better. But my girlfriend didn't even notice. And she said, you know, you get to this point in your life where you're just so used to it, you don't hear it anymore. But that's not a good enough answer for me, guys. I don't think it should be said at all. You know, I don't feel that it's fair that as a white woman, I'm being told who I should and shouldn't date by anybody. You know, we all grow up in a specific culture. You know, I grew up in kind of a soft culture. I definitely grew up in the projects, but, you know, it was white, so it was soft. But I require, as a strong, independent female, I require a man that has a very assertive demeanor. And I just haven't been able to find that outside of the black male culture. And it's really not fair to judge me as a woman on my dating preferences, because how do you know what I need to be the best that I can be? And I guess that's why we, you know, chose to do this show, because it's important that we understand it's not about who's taking who from whose race. It's about who's going to make you the best person you can be so that you can be the best member of society, put forth the best that you can, because we have children to raise, you know, cities, countries to run. But that was probably my biggest slap in the face at first. I've had a few more, but that was the one that was the initial. Corey, do you have any stories at all? Well, no, you haven't had any issues, correct?
I haven't had any issues with people from the outside looking in. My only negative encounter with a white woman was with the actual white woman herself. She was actually Italian, and in some cases they, you know, I guess they're looked at a little different than just the, you know, plain vanilla just Caucasian woman. Like there's differences. And the issue I had with her, which stained me for a little while, I think when this happened back when I was in New York, we had got into an argument for whatever the reason, I don't know, and she pulled the N card. And in pulling the N card, you know, it changed the entire dynamics. We weren't in a relationship, but we were cool. You know, we were kicking it, as you know what that is. So we were kicking it and everything was cool, and, you know, people get into arguments, but it was just kind of, okay, she pulled that card. I hadn't had that card pulled in any other time, but it made me take a step back, because I wondered if I got into an argument down the road with another white woman, would that be the outcome as well? This is many years ago, and since then I've dated many white women, and I've never ever encountered anything like that at all. They will, every last one of them have been, you know, extremely sensitive to it. In fact, I may have in jest made jokes as it relates to it, but they have not, regardless of what I may have said. So that's my only story in terms of being something negative, but never from the outside.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. We actually are going to, so we don't take up all your time, we're actually going to let you go. And by any means, if you hear something that you have to respond to, please holler back at us. But we don't want to tie up your phone or keep you from, you know, having a delicious dinner. So please continue to listen. And thank you so much for jumping on and sharing your stories. We appreciate it, Corey.
No problem. Should I just call back in to listen? Is that how it works?
I think so, yeah.
Hey, Corey, we'll just put you on hold, man, and you can just listen to the show if you want.
That actually works perfect. I can cook and listen at the same time. Can't beat that.
Exactly.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you, Jay.
No problem.
All right. So, Jay Braun, you mentioned that
yes.
You might have a story.
Oh, I have several stories. I'm a man of many stories.
I want to hear them. Teach me.
I will say that I've dated interracially on occasions. And I first want to confirm what you talked about earlier. The women I dated that were Caucasian, white women, firmly believed, in, as you believe, that they wanted a man who was secure in his masculinity, who was confident in his ability, who was a strong person, a strong-willed person. And they found that dating a man of color, it gave them that sense of stability and security they were looking for. So, you know, you're right. It's when you find now, you know, I don't want to pat myself on the back, and to all the brothers out there, I guess, you know, we get kudos for that, but that's what I found out, that women found that we were confident, we were strong, we were assertive, and that's what was appealing to them. So I think that was one of the reasons why I don't know if I had success interracial dating. I think I did. I just found that I was a good fit in that situation. Now let me tell you about what my fellas thought. My boys didn't care. My fellas, my homeboys didn't care as long as she was hot.
Oh, wow.
But they don't care. Hey.
I get it.
The fellas don't care if she's blue, green, yellow, or purple. If she's fine, you get a pass. Now, if she's on the unattractive side, yeah, you might get a little criticism. But the fellas were cool with that. I did have a situation where a black woman approached me and asked why was I engaging with the swirl, so to speak. And I told her, and I was flat out and told, I said, why do you even ask, considering you didn't give me the time of day, but now you see me dating interracially, and now you want to have something to say. So, you know, you need to fall back and understand that I'm happy with this individual, and you didn't give a damn about me until I started dating interracially. So those are just some examples there. But my experiences dating interracially have been great. A great rapport. Now, living in the South, you do get a little fallback. This is the South now. You do get some fallback, and I've been, and it's from black and white people. I've dated a Latino woman and was accepted by the black folk and not accepted by her Latino family. So it's a cultural thing. It's definitely cultural. But it's an experience nonetheless.
I'm curious if you've had this situation is my first question. Have you had a situation where you've been out with a white woman and had to deal with negative right there in your face feedback, or you know, people's opinions that you don't really need in that situation where you're out together?
Good question, buddy. But that's where that strong, assertive black man comes into play. If I know, if I'm confident in who I am as a man, regardless of my skin tone, whoever I'm with, she's definitely with me for a reason. So a strong man, a confident man, an assertive man doesn't give a damn about the naysayers. They can look. Matter of fact, I want you to look because she's pretty attractive. I don't mind. I don't mind the people looks and the gods, because the woman I'm with is going to be hot regardless. So you can look. Just don't touch.
That's hilarious. I love it. And I want to quantify what I feel is what makes black men so assertive, because I don't just want a blanket statement out that, you know, black men are stronger than white men, and I don't think that that's right or fair. So I don't want it to come across this way. But why I feel the way I feel is as simple as when a black man gets up in the morning, he puts his feet on the floor, and he's immediately in a battle with the society he lives in just based on the color of his skin. And unless you have fought that battle, or you know what that battle feels like, you can't possibly understand the strength that brews underneath somebody's skin. So when you take a woman like myself, who business-wise, you know, 8 to 6, is very independent and strong and bullheaded and mouthy, that's exhausting. When I come home at night, I want to be a girl. I want to feel protected. I want to be soft. I want to be submissive. I want to be a girl. And it takes a lot of assertiveness and strength to make a woman at that level feel safe in that she can be a girl. She doesn't have to worry about things in the house. She doesn't have to worry about, you know, what's going to be taken care of, who's going to come to the door. It's just a trust thing. And that, like I said, it's an opinion, it's personal. But if you take a few minutes and think, you know, about that situation of a black man getting up in the morning and about that situation of a strong-willed female and what's going to eventually be able to tame her, because women who really excel in relationships, and I mean like actual relationships where you're living together and you're married, they do need some level of taming, because that's just how we're, you know, designed. We're designed to be submissive, and if we honor
right.
that role and we have the right man, it's going to be a beautiful thing. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
I love it. The very first show we ever did, I showed how naive I was. I'm about to do it again. So I understand the fact that it's, you know, a black and white thing, but where did the word swirl come from? Do you know? Okay. I don't know. I mean, I guess I should have asked if that would be a PG-13 answer or not, but I'm really curious.
Well, I mean, when dating interracially, the perception is a black and white thing. And that's all, like I said, that's been the misnomer. But you proved that to be
right.
wrong. It's not a black and white thing. Interracial doesn't mean black and white. But the
Asian
swirl,
and black, or Indian and white, or...
Right, exactly. Because of the skin tone, the dark skin, the lighter skin, and how that combines to make that swirl, so to speak. It's kind of been coined, the term. Are you down? Like, I hear people, are you down with the swirl? So, just a little nickname that's been coined.
I got you. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that for me. You made Dairy Queen or, you know, soft serve just way more appealing for me.
Okay.
So I know we only have a few more minutes before we go into our next break before the last segment. I'd like to kind of bring it back around to stereotypes, a little bit of how-tos, because I need some help. Like I said, I'm relatively new to this, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. And I'm sure that there are women that are either listening or going to be listening to the replay and have been interested in dating interracially but don't really know how to put themselves out there. One of the things that happens with me is I'll go with my white girlfriend to, say, an urban club, and there's I have a favorite downtown Atlanta, and I find that when I'm there with my girlfriend, I don't get approached. But when I'm, you know, one-on-one with somebody in a much less... in not that environment, you know, if I'm like at a grocery store, somebody's more likely to talk to me, but I literally will be stared at and never approached. And I'm wondering, what am I doing something wrong? I mean, by nature of the fact that I'm in this club should say, I'm open to, you know, you can speak to me, I would like to, you know, dance or whatever, but what am I doing wrong, Bron? Help me.
Well, you and your girlfriends are going to an urban club. Oh, the average brother's going to look at y'all and say, okay, look at these beautiful women. But not, even as confident as we are, we don't like rejection. And it's going to take a very confident, almost inebriated man to approach you, because I'm going to really stereotype this, and I'm going to be, you're looking at these Sex in the City women, and these guys are approaching you, and they're like, we're gonna get shot down. So we might as well we can look at you and admire you, but we won't approach you.
But that's where I'm lost. It doesn't make sense to me, because if I wasn't interested in expressing that, then why would I be there? Or did they just assume I'm there to dance?
I don't think it's you in particular. It's just like you're with your pack of girls. It's not necessarily you. It's just the fact that you're with your girls.
Okay.
So that's part of dating thing. Dating and relationships. It's like guys are not going to go approach you. As hot as and attractive as you are, they're not going to approach you because they're fear of getting shot down.
Wow. Okay. What can I do that doesn't? Typically tend to be a bit demure in those situations because I don't like to look a certain way. What are some things that I could do that would, say, let you know that I was interested in you coming to talk to me? I mean, would be making eye contact enough, or?
I'm gonna tease you, Bunny, and I'm gonna tease the listening audience because we're gonna go on a quick break, and when we come back from the break, I'm definitely going to answer that call for you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
All right, we'll be right back from the break.
Hi, I'm Jack. I know it's hard for my parents to watch over me all the time. When I'm at home, they got it covered. They called Interactive Business Technologies and installed a security system. Now we have watch over our front door, backyard, and even a couple rooms in our house. The HD camera has night vision, is weatherproof, and senses motion, so my parents get an alert right on their phone. My parents trust me, but when they are out for an extended period of time, they check on me from their phones and even talk to me right through the camera. I feel safe, but I really can't get away with anything. Interactive Business Technologies will install as little as 2 cameras or as many as you need. They took the time to teach us how to access it from both our phones and tablet. Go to www.callibt.com and find out how they can help you keep your kids safe. Servicing DeKalb, Fulton, and Gwinnett counties.
Life is busy during the week. Who wants to do the housework during the weekend? Call Sonali Cleaning Service and come home to a clean and fresh-smelling house. Move-ins, move-outs, deep cleanings, weekly and bi-weekly. You can purchase blocks of time and a la carte. Only need the bathrooms and kitchen done? No problem. What you need, when you need it, they will clean it. Sonali Cleaning Service has been serving North Atlanta for 11 years. Go to www.sanalu.com and get a free quote and your weekend's back.
Hey, we're back for the last segment of Buddy and LeBron doing some interracial dating. So, Buddy, I know we got some callers that want to chime in real quick, but I guess to answer your question, could you repeat that again? Because, you know, I'm absent-minded at times.
When I'm in public, in a social situation, how can I let a black man know without being too forward? While I want to maintain my, you know, my class and my demureness, how can I let him know that I'm open for him speaking to me if I catch his eye?
Well, this goes for not only just, you know, not only black men, but men in general. And I talk about this on when I talk to the fellas. You want to really make a good impression on the black man or just a man in general? Go ahead and buy him a drink. You know, send a drink over to his table. You know, you will not only have the brother turning purple, but you'll also have him, you know, you'll have him like, wow, this woman here really wants to get to know me. Let's you know, we could go into her and have a conversation and converse and see where it goes. So I tell my female friends, you want to be more assertive and buy him a drink if you're at a club.
Okay, that's great advice. Thank you. I appreciate it. So I am so ready to hear from our next caller.
All right. Well, about to put the caller on. Caller, the last 4 or 0200, what's your name and where are you calling from? Caller.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm
what's
good.
Your name
how
and
are
you? Where you calling from? I'm just fine.
My name is Miss Reason, and I'm calling from Michigan.
Hey, Miss Reason.
Hey, Miss Reason. Hey, nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you as well.
So, Miss Reason, what's your take on this interracial dating?
Well, I agree with Bunny that it's hard for women to, when you're out and men don't approach you and you don't know how to go about letting them know that you are open for them to approach you. Because just like Bunny said, when I'm out, I don't get approached either. I get stared at a lot. I get a lot of smiles. I get a lot of eye contact. But no, they don't approach me.
Hey, I got to take issue
with... That is frustrating.
I got to take issue with you, Miss Reasons, and Bunny. Because first of all, and I know my boy Corey can co-sign on this, Miss Reasons is drop-dead gorgeous. Bunny is drop-dead gorgeous. So I don't know why they're not being approached. Could you explain that to me?
Is Corey on?
Hello? Oh, I'm about to put Corey on right now so he can explain, because I don't understand it, because you two ladies are gorgeous. So I don't see if it's – I don't know why men are not approaching you.
I have
Corey, let me know what you think, man.
The answer to that is as humans, we operate based on experiences. And so, you know, it's difficult for – women sometimes don't get it. Just like you said earlier, Braun, we don't like rejection. And it's tough for a guy to go into the lioness's den countless times and you get rejected. It is very,
exactly.
Very, really, really courageous, man, at a club to approach any woman, whether she's white, black, Indian, doesn't matter. If she's around with her girls, trust me, and it's happened to me before, it's a long walk back from that spot that might only be 5 feet, but may seem like you're walking a country mile, because
walk of shame.
Exactly. Feel like you.
That's great.
I swear you feel like you have something, like somebody just chained some shackles to you, and you're walking back, because it's just it's a lonely feeling. You want you know the eyes are looking at you. You can't look back. You just got to kind of hope you blend in and they're not watching you. So it has nothing to do with a white woman in a black club. Yes, we know that you will partake in some black cake. We get that. But you are at that point, no different than any other woman in there who might reject us in a negative fashion, because unfortunately your counterparts, they are not always pleasant in rejecting. It's not always a nicely done situation. Sometimes you have some people who are very nasty and you can't really tell who's who.
Okay. Ms. Reason, I have a question for you, because this actually goes beyond the club. Like, I'll be in the grocery store and going down the aisles, and there'll be, like, a nice-looking guy, and especially at the grocery store right after business hours. You know, they're dressed nice, they smell good, and they look at you, and they smile, and you say hi, and they say hi, but you still pass each other, and you can tell he's, like, staring at you, but I guess I'm pretty forward.
Bunny,
but
you gotta really stop stalking me. I can't believe that you're stalking
me. Conversation, like right there, like pick up a man. But has this happened to you? Have you acted on it? And if you haven't, what advice would the guys give us on that one?
Yeah, it's happened to me. It happens to me quite often because I don't go to clubs. And when I did go out to clubs, I went solo. I didn't go in a girl group or anything. I was always solo, so they didn't have to worry about me fronting for my girls or nothing, because it was just me. But, like, you know, at the grocery store, at the gas station, wherever I go, I get a lot of stares, like I said, and a lot of smiles, and even I get some hellos, how are you? And then that's as far as it go, but they constantly staring. They can't walk away without turning around and still smiling. You know, it's like, if you have something else to say, I wish you would say it, but they never do.
So you haven't acted on it either?
No.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe we just need to be more forward. We're just too pretty.
<They're so laughs>
I'll be flattered by that. But I'm curious, guys, you know, what is your opinion? You know, when you do that to a woman, what are you expecting from us?
Well,
go ahead, Corey, man.
For me, it's you know, you're asking for something that you're not doing. That sounds like more of the problem.
Exactly.
Close mouth, don't get fed. You're wanting a guy to do exactly what you're wanting him to do what you are not willing to do. And, like, that's the problem in itself. You're saying, why isn't he doing? Why isn't he doing? Why isn't he doing? Well, the question should be, why am I not doing? Why am I not doing? Why am I not doing? And perhaps you get a little different results. I mean, we all know what the definition of insanity is. So you're still doing it. You're looking and looking and looking like the sad puppy at the pound, instead of just, you know, being the true lionesses that you are. You don't apply the way you date, the way women deal with dating, chances are you don't apply that with anything else in your life. Like, if you're trying to get a job, guess what? You go hard in the paint for it. You know, if you're trying to protect your child, you're doing stuff for your children, you go hard in the paint for it. But when it comes to dating, all of a sudden, you guys become extremely docile. No, if there's a guy and he's in the dairy section and you think he's attractive, go up to him and say hello, hey, how you doing? What guys, very, very rarely, especially if the woman is hot, he's not gonna be rude to you. Like we have to deal with that. An attractive woman might have her nose so far up in the air, which is in part a problem for very attractive women, that sometimes they don't get approached because, again, their counterparts, you know, sometimes act in a very, very nasty manner. But you're very, very rarely, 99 out of 100 times, a guy is going to at least be polite and engaging to you. And so even if he's married or in a relationship, trust me, when you leave, it's not going to feel like you got to go down the walk of shame and you can no longer go down the vegetable aisle again. It won't be like that.
I have a follow-up question for that, Corey. And then, Bron, I would love your answer also to the same question that I asked Corey originally.
Mm-hmm.
Corey, I totally get what you're saying, and I want to agree with you. I really do. But I am a very traditional female in the fact that, and I don't want to speak for Miss Reason, but I love being a woman. I love everything about being a woman, right down to the fact that I wear 4- and 5-inch heels every day. And I really do. The man that I have to go after, I'm going to question if he's going to be that strong man at home. You know what I mean? Like, if I had to pursue you, are you going to have what I need at home? So are you saying that if I pursue you first, that that really has no bearing on you being a leader and a king in your home domain?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It has zero to do with it. I'm an end result person. So for me, it just matters how we got to the end. Oftentimes when they write scripts, they do movies, they start from the end because they know that that's the point that they want to get to. How they get there is a whole different ballgame. It doesn't really matter if you approach a guy. It doesn't mean that you're pursuing. And I think part of that traditional mentality does need to get thrown out with the bathwater, because the job should be of both parties pursuing. Like, it shouldn't just be up to me to pursue, and it shouldn't just be up to you. And saying hello isn't pursuing. It's just a greeting. Is it more than that? It's just a greeting. It's just something that humans do. That's what, I guess, separates us from animals, is that we actually can greet. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
I would like to say, ladies first, Miss Reason, do you have a sound off on all of that?
Well, I can agree that I am very aggressive, and when I want something, I go after it. And when it comes to men, I'm not that aggressive. I don't pursue. I don't go outside of my box. And I totally understand what he's saying, that it should go both ways. You know, we both should let it be known what we're thinking or what our intentions are. I just haven't done that. And I don't know... he's an end result person. I want to say I'm kind of an end result person, but it has to begin somewhere. And as far as approaching a man and going past, hello, how are you, I guess I will have to work on that.
I'm with you, girl. I wouldn't really know how to say it because I'm also very mismannered in that if I'm going to ask him out, like I believe whoever does the asking does the paying, and I don't want to pay for a first date. I'm just traditional. I'll pay for the second date in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
Wow.
I will take a man out that I've enjoyed the presence of.
Yeah,
but I'm
that's
traditional
not good.
That, you know, I want to be asked out first. I feel that I deserve that.
Right.
And that's part of our work as women. You know, obviously you are very much like me, and, you know, we believe we have a worth and we should be on some level pursued in the beginning. But I will pursue your fine behind after that. But, okay.
Exactly.
So, Jay Braun, you're the only one that we haven't heard from on this. And please,
well,
enlighten
us. You got to say the best for last. So I want to say this. You saw me in the dairy aisle and you didn't want to speak to me? See, that's messed up. That's messed up. You saw me in the dairy aisle. We could at least talked about a lactose-free cottage cheese or something. See, that's the thing, ladies. If you see us in a place and you just the casual conversation of, you know, is that lactose-free cottage cheese on sale for $2.99? I mean, as ridiculous and random as that is, that sparks the conversation. You know,
okay.
Come on, ladies.
You're very assertive. It's funny. And Corey, you see this, that these ladies, these two strong, powerful ladies are very assertive in the business world. But then I understand, ladies, you want to be courted. But that same assertion, that same confidence should apply to your relationships as well. That's all I'm saying.
It does apply after the initial contact.
Yes, absolutely. After initial and having a good feel for where things are at, because
right.
Women also are fearful of rejection, no matter how great we know we are, we're still fearful of that, you know, shutdown.
Chances are, even after the initial conversation, and if we hit it off, I'm still going to end up taking the lead. So what
right.
you're concerned about is really not even a concern, because if we're conversing after we leave Walmart and we're conversing on the phone and I want to see you, I'm not going to wait because you approached me first. Like, please don't take this the wrong way. But that's like a childish mentality. Oh, well, she said something to me first, so therefore she must take me out first. No. If I want to see you on Thursday or Friday and I'm free, I'm going to ask you what you're doing. I don't care that you talked to me first at Walmart in the dairy aisle when cottage cheese was on sale for $2.99. That's
exactly.
No, I mean when somebody asks. Like, if I say, would you like to go for coffee? It's whoever initiates that. That's what I'm talking about. Not whoever talks first. I mean whoever asks that person out.
Right,
I'm
but initially
I always grew up that the asker does the paying.
Right, but initially you were saying that you're not even doing the approach.
I'm not even
period.
Doing
that.
I do a high end, like I keep it moving unless.
Yeah, but
unless
you got to remember, you're in the South. So like coming from New York, that's unusual at first. I took it as crazy that people just say hi to you for no reason. Now, having been here so long, I don't take that as somebody flirting with me. I just take it as commonplace because this is the South. But that doesn't mean hit on me. So you got to do a little bit more than hi if you want this guy to say more than hi back. Because
all right. See, I'm not from here either, so okay. So to me,
one,
okay, I got it. See, I am being told that we only have. Go ahead.
Was Martin? That's when I heard the swirl.
What was that?
I said the first time that I heard the swirl was on Martin back.
Was
in
on
like
Martin?
Right.
Yeah, that was it. That's the first time I heard it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm seeing that we only have a few minutes left, and I know that the guest that we have on, Miss Reason. I want her to be able to plug herself. I'm so excited that she got on. So I just want to take 2 minutes to talk about our next show. And then I actually want Miss Reason to talk a little bit about who she is and how to find her. So our next show is going to be dating tips for men that are single and having a hard time maintaining a girl they're actually interested in. I've taught a workshop in the past for men that goes back to basics on gentleman behavior and how to charm and disarm a female on her first date with you. And I'm not trying to be hitch and trying to get anybody into the bedroom quickly, but I definitely do have some tips and information that can help a man bring a woman's walls down on that very first date so he can get to know the real woman that he's sitting with. And how to make himself stand out from the crowd. So that will be next week. And without further ado, Miss Reason, could you please tell me about your show and how can we find you?
The Miss Reason Show comes on every Thursday at 6 o'clock. And you can find me on Blog Talk Radio or Spaz the Miss Reason Show. I do. I showcase authors and poets and writers on Thursdays, and sometimes on Tuesday.
Okay.
I have a new show coming up on Friday where I'm planning on talking about issues and people having issues with things in their daily lives and stuff, and just to get a perspective on things and get some tips and advice from people about real life issues.
Okay, that's great. Do you happen to have a fan page on Facebook?
I do. It's the Miss Reason Show page.
Miss MS?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Great. Thank you so much for coming on. I am so glad that you were able to come in and share your opinion as well. Corey, thank you again for coming on. This has been a really great show. I actually learned a few things, and I am going to, and I hope Miss Reason does too, I am going to immediately apply the assertiveness I have given to my company to my future Saturday night company. So hopefully right. That works out for me. That was really good advice from both of you gentlemen. Thank you so very much. Jay, do you have anything else you want to add before we wrap up and say goodnight?
I just want to say thank you so much for Corey and Miss Reasons to call in. I want to give them a special shout out.
Yay!
I want to thank y'all so much for calling the Bunny and the Bronze Show, and definitely tell a friend and make sure you tune in for the next show.
Thank you so much, y'all. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.